Blog Talk Radio.
February 20th, 2021. And again, this is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. Certainly, I want to give a shout out to my co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, who did an exceptional, outstanding job on last week. And certainly she will be back on next week to close us out. We thank God for this word that we have. We have a spirit-filled word. But again, it is my custom to give the announcements, and Amazing Grace School of Ministry, we are coming. We will be in classes in March. So if you want more information, you can give me a call, Dr. Maria Carey, 309-750-7584. And of course, those of you that are listening to this word, those of you that have listened, those of you that have sent a donation, I thank God for you, and I appreciate you supporting this ministry. And certainly we endeavor to strive and to do the work of the Lord. If this word has spoken to your heart, if it encourages you, give me a text, 309-750-7584. 7584. You can also reach me by email, amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. And it's not as amazing, A-M-A-Z-E-N. We thank God for the word. We thank God for an awesome word that we have today. I invited my pastor, Pastor Michael Hill, to the show on today. He said that he would listen in, so I want to give a shout out to him. Thank God. We encourage, we thank, we are blessed to know that you're with us on today. He is the pastor of Word of Truth Pentecostal Church of God in Christ, located at 415 West 111th Street. The doors of the church are open, and service start at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Now, he does, and we do practice social distancing. You got to wear your mask, and certainly your temperature will be checked. But I want to give a shout out to him. I've got a very special guest on today, and I thank God for Pastor Hill and taking the time out of his busy schedule to listen to this blog on this morning. Well, let's get into the word. We have prepared a word that will captivate your mind. Certainly, it will change your life. It will move you forward in this new year, 2021. We have had a theme, and that theme is new things have sprung up from the desert. God will restore and deliver his people to bring back hope. And certainly the theme for 2021, you know, Dr. Karen, her themes, a time of rebuilding and reaffirmation of our heritage. And that's, of course, the fact that this month is what? It's Black History Month. But there's a word, certainly, that, and we thank God for the leaders of the Church of God in Christ. The Church of God in Christ will be undergoing their election on next week, and certainly we want to lift them up, the nation in its entirety. We want to pray for them. PBS had a special, and if you're in the city of Chicago, that special was called The Black Church. And certainly Dr. Lewis Henry Gates does a phenomenal job at looking at our culture, the African-American culture, where we've been and what the outlook of the future is for our culture. And certainly this is African-American month. And I have been giving a little tidbits of this month to give you a little history. So we're going to do that, but I want to introduce the subject on this morning. The subject for this morning is anchored in hope, striving during a pandemic. And certainly the word comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 16 through 20, and I'm going to read you first the King James Version. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Within God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled from refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have an anchor, we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. Whether the former things is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, so before I get into the lesson, praise God, I want to talk a little bit about Black history, and certainly Dr. Lewis Gates talked about, he had a program on PBS, talked about the Black Church, and certainly I want to give honor to the First Jurisdiction Women's Department that gave an outstanding retreat on the beginning of February, and certainly the theme of that program was anchored in hope. Not just surviving, but striving. And this is where I've got the subject of my message from today, because we want to talk about that anchor, that hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And certainly we have an anchor in Christ. But the African American or the Black History note, I want to talk about Bass Reeves. Now, he was the first African-American U.S. Deputy Marshal. He was one of four one of four cowboys in our history was Black. Despite the histories told in the popular books and movies, in fact, it's believed that the real Long Ranger was inspired by an African-American man named Bass Reeves. Reeves had been born a slave but escaped west during the Civil War, where he lived in what was then known as the Indian Territory. He eventually became a deputy U.S. Marshal, was a master of disguise, an expert marksman, had a Native American companion, and rode a silver horse. His story was not unique, however. In the 19th centuries, the Wild West drew enslaved Blacks with the hope of freedom and wages. When the Civil War ended, free men came west with the hope of a better life where the demand for skilled labor was high. Those African Americans made up at least a quarter of the legendary cowboys who lived dangerous lives, facing weather, facing rattlesnakes and outlaws, while they slept under the stars driving cattle herds to the market. While there was little formal segregation in the frontier towns, a great deal of personal freedom, Black cowboys were often expected to do more of the work and the roughest jobs compared to their white counterparts. Loyalty did develop between the cowboys on a drive, but the Black cowboys were typically responsible for breaking the horses and being the first ones to cross flooded streams during cattle drives. In fact, it was believed that the term cowboy originated as a derogatory term used to describe Black cowhands. That's your note of Black history for today. We are all over the globe, and certainly we have nothing to be ashamed about. We have a vast and large history, and God has brought us through. So let's get into the lesson, saints. Let's go to Hebrews again, and this time I'm going to read a little different text. This is the New Living Translation. It reads, "Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. Those things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for reference can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the certainty into God's inner sanctuary. The curtain into God's inner sanctuary, Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So let's get into this word. The Lord knows that we live in a world that is filled with uncertainty and questions. God uses a descriptive metaphor that pictures a picture to tell what he's done to aid us on our journey. This world is like a sea, restless, unstable, dangerous, and now as we are navigating through this pandemic, now we see all the trials and the tribulations that are going on. We see so much devastation in this time, even in Texas, and the disparities in our communities and the snow, and it looks like everything that can go wrong is going wrong. So to recap, a sense of normalcy, struggling with lost relationships, with the loss of family, trying to deal with the impact of trauma, trying to stabilize ourselves in the midst of our daily affairs, and there is a new normal now. And certainly we know, given this pandemic, given everything, the state of affairs, that there things will not operate as they did, as they once did. We're like a ship driven with the wind tossed about. We're subject to its change and its motions. We're subject to drift by the currents and to be driven by those winds of oppression, those winds of temptations, those winds of trying or just believing it's time to throw in the towel. But the solid ground of God's eternal kingdom, God does not want us to toss and turn. He does not want us to feel hopeless, because he is saying that we can endure the storm, even though we may go through. And we talked about victory in the storm on last week. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors through Christ. We have an anchor. So God is telling us on this week that we are more than victorious, that he has promised some things to us, and that he cannot lie, that he will not lie. So he swung by himself to let us know what he is saying. We can count on it. We can count on it and know that it is assured. Therefore, God wants us to be on the right side. God is saying again, we're more than conquerors. Therefore, he's fashioned an anchor of hope for us so that we can ride out the storm. So let's look at the purpose of an anchor, what it's made of, and how it holds on. How does that anchor hold us? Now, when we look at the design of an anchor, the purpose of an anchor, the purpose of an anchor is to keep a ship safe. A secure is secure as its design location to help and to control the ship during that bad behavior, that bad weather. So an anchor, but an anchor has to be solid. It has to be dependable. It has to be properly let down at the right time and place. So the general definition of an anchor is a device normally made of steel that is used to connect a vessel to the bed of the body of water to prevent the craft from drifting during the wind or current. Now, hooking the anchors. Most anchors achieve the holding power by hooking. You see the design of a anchor. It has like two hooks on each side. And it does this by hooking into the seabed. And there are many designs to accomplish this event. Now, the sheer mass of that anchor. Now, the anchor connects the ship to the seabed, and it must it's not light. It weighs. It's got some weight to it. It can be either temporary or permanent, but it's got to be heavy enough for that anchor to fall down or to be let down. And if we look at, if we can envision a ship, if those of us or those of you that have ever been on a cruise ship, or those of you that can look out and see those movies, you see that big, long chain connected, and then you see this metal hook like on the end. And those of you that go fishing, it's like a big, massive hook, and it weights a ton. So because it weights a ton, you see that ship pushes a button or a lever, and that anchor goes way down, and it just drops. And that massive amount or massive weight of that anchor, it has to be massive to go down into that seabed. Because if you look at the ships, if you look at how big cruise ships are, if you look at how big those tankers are that move product from one state or one country to a next, they're big and huge, and that anchor has to be massive. Now, a sea anchor is a device that's used to stabilize a boat in heavy weather. Rather than tipping, tittering that boat to the seabed, that sea anchor increases the drag through the water. Thus, it acts as a brake, meaning that anchor also holds to brake that ship to keep it from moving. Just as an anchor holds a ship firmly to one place when the winds and the currents are blowing that won't allow it to be removed, so God has given us that certain truth that he has anchored us. He holds our minds together. He holds our minds together with the word of truth. When Satan comes and gives us those negative thoughts, and Satan will, he tells us you can't make it, you won't make it. But then the word of God says, I can do all things through Christ. He says that if you think on these things in Philippians chapter 4, you can read the chapter and find the verses, but he says think on these things, and he wants us to think on these things so that we can be anchored in this assurance that our minds will remain stable in him, that our minds will be focused. You know, we look at the news, we look at what's going on, we look at everything that's going on in our society, in the world around us. And saints of God, we surely have to be alert. So we have to know what's going on. But the news anchors, Channel 5, Channel 7, Channel 12, Fox News, ABC, NBC, all of them, MSNBC, all of them have their particular point of view that they want to give us. So we've got to be stable. We've got to be anchored in who God is and know that God will bring us out. Now, you know, Jesus talked in the Bible and the Gospels. He told us to render unto Caesar what's Caesar and unto God what's God, meaning that we follow the rules and the regulations of what society's deeming. So we can't be saints of God and run a red light and think that we okay. No, we broke the law. And therefore, because we are citizens of this society, we must follow their rules. We know that a red means stop, that yellow means yield, and green means go. Don't know why I'm saying this, but we have to follow those rules that society have deemed. Now, why do we want to hold our ship still? Why is that ship pulling or dropping that anchor? It's there to keep that ship from being wrecked. Mm-hmm. In calm waters, we don't need an anchor. But when the weather condition becomes dangerous, an anchor becomes essential. When if the wind is blowing, the ship cannot hold its course and risk being driven around a rocky coast. Then an anchor is worth its weight in gold. Life has storms and situations just like those storms. Satan tempts us. Our human weakness besets us. And the trials of the world break on us like waves of tempests. But God has made a preparation. God has made a preparation for his people to be saved from life's shipwrecks. He provided an anchor so sure that no storm can overwhelm us if we use it. Don't be controlled by external situations. An anchor is also comfort to sailors because it gives them some assurance that they are not completely at the mercy of the elements. In life, people who's driven helplessly by situations are miserable people, because they become disorganized as to the current situation's position, and their future direction is uncertain too. So when life hits us, and if we look at Ecclesiastic, it talks about a time to be healed, a time to laugh, a time to cry. We know that we're going to have situations, we're going to have problems. This is not guaranteed. The Bible didn't say that we have happy life, that we're going to be have good times all of the days of our lives. It didn't say that. Bible says that faith and chance are going to happen to us all. So he pours out on the good, as on the righteous as well as the unrighteous. So life is going to happen. Life is going to hit us with stuff. We can see it now. We can see sitting here in our homes, being socially distanced, understanding that we can't go see our loved ones in the hospital, understanding that those that the Lord has taken on to glory, we can't really funeralize them, especially in the Church of God in Christ or those churches. We as African Americans have always celebrated our loved ones. We celebrate in their home-going service. That's why it's called a home-going service, because we understand that this is not our home. And when we transition from this world to the next, we celebrate our loved ones. We celebrate their accomplishments. We celebrate the fact that God has taken a soldier on home. And certainly we give honor and credence to the Creator that has allowed us to stand firm, to stand on his word, that has allowed us to celebrate our loved one. But that does not mean that we don't grieve in their loss. That does not mean that we're not grieving in the situation that confronts us now. We are grieving, but we don't grieve like the world, because our hope is anchored. Our hope is anchored in Christ Jesus. This word today is saying that our hope is anchored in Christ. Our hope is anchored in a God that won't change. Our hope is anchored in our Creator, the Father in heaven, who knows all about us, who knows who we are. And then he makes us some promises. He makes us some promises, y'all. And this is the promises that he made to us. God promised that he will never go back on us. He will never change. He will never turn his back on us. He will never leave us. He will never, never forsake us. He said that I'm going to take an oath, and that oath is this divine thing that God will always be with us. He swears to us, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you. And then he sent his son to die on the cross, and the veil of the temple was ripped. What does that mean? That means that that veil was ripped when Christ died on the cross, and certainly we are now going, we're in Lent season. We are in that 40 days preparation. Praise the Lord. I thank God for his goodness. Certainly, I graduated from a Catholic high school, y'all. And those 40 days, they deal with those 40 days of preparations. They deal with Christ being led up to the cross. And certainly, we are in that season. We are in that season of preparation. We're in that season where we are getting ready to celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And God is saying today that we're anchored in hope. We're thriving during this pandemic because Christ Jesus died on the cross and the veil of the temple was ripped. Because it was ripped, it made access for us to go through. It made access for us to go through to get to God ourselves. And certainly because Christ died and he rose again, we have access. We have a God that never changes. We have a God that says, I'm going to be with you through the storm. So therefore, our anchor is assured. Our anchor is dropped in Christ Jesus. Our anchor is assured and dropped to know that God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's right there guiding and leading us, even through the storm, even through the midst of our problems, even through the midst of our sicknesses, even through the midst of our hardships, even through the midst of our financial difficulties, even through the midst of trying to figure out when the next paycheck is coming, even those bills are coming and you may not understand or you may not have the money, God is saying, I've got you. I will never leave you nor forsake you because your anchor is dropped. Now, to drop your anchor, you have to do some things. You have to pray and seek God, but you've got to read this word. Why do you have to read this word? Because if you don't fill your mind with this word, then thoughts will come. Thoughts will come at you. Satan will give you thoughts that he has that's not God's thoughts. And you will take those thoughts and you will believe those thoughts and believe that they're your thoughts. But the Bible says, allow your mind to be focused on Christ Jesus. In Romans, it talks about renewing your mind, having this mind of Christ Jesus. Therefore, I've got to think like Christ. And because I think like Christ, the only way I can do that is by standing on the word of God. That means I've got to seek him. I've got to search for him. And the Bible says, they that do hunger for righteousness shall be filled. I want to be filled with this word. So when the storms come, when the storms toss this ship of mine to and forth, then my anchor is resting in Christ Jesus. When I get that bad report, when the doctor tells me, well, we see some things in your body, but I can be anchored in this one thing, that Christ holds my hand and know that God will not change. God will keep, God will see me through because I'm anchored. Then I've got to praise him. I've got to worship the Lord for who he is, and I praise him for what he's done for me. But I lift up my hands and I worship him. I worship him in my home. I worship him wherever or whenever I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. Oh, when I wake up in the morning and my eyes see another day that I've never seen before, I praise God, because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I would not have made it. I would not see this day that I've never seen before. But it's because of God's mercies that are renewed daily for me. I thank God. I have problems and situations, but God understands, and God is moving me forward. God is making a way out of no way, so I can make this statement. I'm anchored in the hope of the Lord, and I am striving during a pandemic because God is allowing it to be so. Ooh, my hope is on Jesus Christ. My hope, my foundation is on Jesus Christ. Therefore, in the storm, I'm anchored. When problems come, I'm anchored. And hallelujah, we've got to be anchored in the Lord, because Satan is going to come. Why is he going to come? Because he don't want you to have the victory. He don't want you to speak the word of truth. Hallelujah, word of truth, praise the Lord. He don't want you to speak it. He don't want you to stand assured. He don't want you to believe that God will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Meaning, I've got to believe. Now, when we go over to Hebrews, the faith chapter, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I've got to see it spiritually. I've got to know that I'm coming out. And, you know, shout before you come out. The saints used to tell us, you know, before you shout it out, you know, you may be in the midst of your problems and your situations, but you shout now for the victory, because you have the victory, because the victory is ours. And we may not see it in this physical eye, but we see it in the future. We see it in the spirit. We see God moving it, because God said he would, because God is working it out for our benefit. Why? Because our ways please him. And saints, our ways got to please him. Oh, Jesus, that's another lesson. But we've got to walk in the authority of the Lord and know that God is working it out for our benefit. I've got a little more time. We're going to pray. Father God, I thank you for this hour. I thank you, God, for those that are listening. God, I thank you, God, for those that have taken the time to spend this time listening to the word. And I pray, God, for them. I pray for each one that's on the line. I pray, God, for a deeper understanding. I pray for healing for their bodies. And Father God, as usual, if there's somebody that may see this blog in the future and they may not know you and the power of their your resurrection, and they may not know you as a redemptive Savior, as a Savior, God, I pray, God, that they will say these words: forgive me of my sins. I repent in Jesus' name. I repent and I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And now I'm adopted in the royal family, the royal family. I have benefits. And those benefits means that I have access to the healing power of the Lord. I have access to the veil of the entrance of the temple. I can go through because I have an anchor in Christ Jesus that will go before the Lord, and he will petition his Father for me. So, Father God, as we pray, God, as we seek a greater understanding, as we seek a greater relationship with you, I pray for Texas, God, right now in the name of Jesus, as they're struggling with the problems of the lack of water and no heat and not having the various needs to comfort themselves. God, water is a hot commodity. And certainly we pray for them. We pray, God, that you'll open up the doors. We pray, God, that you'll relieve them of their suffering. We pray and we lift them up right now, God. We pray and lift the president up right now, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for every state, every country, God, the United States and Switzerland, all of the world that we live in. We pray for Jerusalem. We pray, God, for everyone, every nation. In Jesus' name, we pray for them on this morning. But, Father, we also pray, God, for those that may have experience or had to deal with this coronavirus and those members that have gone on because of this virus. We lift up those family members that are still here. We pray, God, for those that are trying to access this vaccination. We pray, God, that the African communities will open up and receive and not be fearful, God, but that you will lead us and guide us, God. But ultimately, we don't walk in fear because we know that you are healing. And those that have taken the virus, we pray, God, that you will heal them, and we bind all side effects of this vaccination. God, is to our fan, there's a third one on the way, but God, you know, you see, God, let there be no deaths because someone receives this vaccination. We bind and we ask, God, that you eliminate the side effects right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that you'll open it up, God, each and every facility, God, to administer this vaccination. And we pray, God, that those that want to take this vaccination will be able to take it. And those that don't, God, continue to cover them, Father God. Because, God, we know that you are our help. We know that ultimately you will provide for our needs. We know that there's nothing too hard for you. We know even by the word on this morning that we are anchored in. And because we're anchored into your hope, because you have made us a promise that you will not leave us nor will you forsake us. We have this reassurance that you are immutable. You don't change, that you were there right by our side, and you're going to lead and you're going to guide us. You're going to take us through and you're going to bring us out on the other side. So all we have to do is shout right now, shout the victory, because we have the victory. We have the victory in you. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We bless your name. We thank you, God, and we reverence you. We praise you. And we thank you again for everybody on this line. God, touch their body, strengthen their body, heal them, God. And those that need restoration, restore, deliver, God. You see each and every need. I pray for a financial blessing, God, in Jesus' name. You see it, God. Bless the pocketbooks. Bless the checks accounts, God. Bless ministries, God. God, increase membership, but increase, God, financial, God, but also, God, bring the people in. Bring the people in that they may hear a word and be changed and understand that the church is still relevant. The church is still on top. The church is still needed, and it's still the place where God dwells. Oh, hallelujah. We bless your name, Jesus. We pray for our millennials. We pray for our young people, God. We lift them up before you, God, and we pray, God, that you strengthen them and encourage their minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And amen. Whew, hallelujah. 2 minutes to spare. Praise God, saints. Again, I want to say thank you for being with us on this morning. Hopefully something has been said, praise God, that will encourage you to continue on, to know that you are anchored in Christ Jesus, that your hope is anchored, that we're striving during this time. We're striving and we do have the victory. Not that we're going to get the victory. We're walking in the victory. We have the victory right now. So be blessed. Be encouraged. My co-host will be with you on next Saturday. She will have a word from the Lord. Continue to lift up this ministry. Continue to pray for us as we endeavor to serve God and to serve his people. Be blessed. We will see you all next week. Bye-bye.